Welcome to this week's edition of Gridiron Gurus. I'm Evan Crawley alongside Travis Lazarsik. This week, it's the midway point of the season. We're taking a look at how every team stands in the Crabtree standings. Getting a good idea at this point in the year of where teams stand going into the playoffs. Now, in some races where there's eight teams making the playoffs, it's less of a question of who gets in. But we're going to take a look at who's in good shape at this point of the year, Travis. And we're going to kick it off in A South, which has been very competitive this year. The three teams atop the standings at 3-1, Scarborough, TA, and Deering, all have been very close, with South Portland and Bonnie Eagle and even Sanford having strong years right behind them.
Yeah, it looks like the six playoff teams that are going to make it from that division are set, with Massabesic being 0-4 and the number seven team there. They're all basically playing to see who's the one that's left out. It's just going to be a matter of some of these late season games seeding, see who gets those two byes and who gets a home game in the first round.
Everybody thought TA was kind of the team to beat at the start of the year, and they started off the year in really dominant fashion. But you know, getting beat a couple weeks ago has really clouded that division. It looks like it's up for grabs, and the same can be said for A North. You got Portland on top at 4-0, the only team unbeaten still in Class A, but Cheverus, Wyndham hot on their tails at 3-1.
Yeah, and same situation in A North as is in A South. Six of the seven teams make it, and that last regular season game between Bangor and Oxford Hills, who are both 0-4, could basically be a playoff game where the winner gets in as a sixth seed and the loser's done.
Yep. Travis, let's swing down to the Class B North. That's the PTCB. It's been, always has been a very competitive conference, and certainly we'll see who's the favorite this weekend when Skowhegan travels to Brunswick.
Yeah, the only two remaining undefeated teams, both Skowhegan and Brunswick, are 4-0. Skowhegan coming off a really impressive win over a previously undefeated Brewer team, who's now in third place in the conference. Skowhegan is a team that, talking to Coach Matt Friedman just a little while ago, said they know that Brunswick can defend the pass because they recently did it a couple weeks ago in a big win over Coney, and so they're like, you know, our offense isn't going to take Brunswick by surprise. And offensively, Brunswick, you know, relies heavily on running back Will Bessie, but quarterback Thomas Hansen has proven this season that, you know, the Dragons can throw a little bit. They're a little more diverse than they have been in recent years. And this afternoon, I caught up with Skowhegan's senior wide receiver defensive back Spencer Sally and talked about the different challenges Brunswick presents Skowhegan.
Really strong running team. Will Bessie comes to mind, really. In the past, they've been pretty decent size, but, I mean, we always matched up pretty well with them on the line. But, yeah, just a matter of stopping the running game is the first thing that comes to mind for me.
Yeah, looks like they've been throwing the ball a little more, too, this year.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, I noticed they have a good tight end, 81. He's definitely a good ball player, and they have a couple other options as receivers. But, I mean, if they can develop a run, they will run. So that's, you know, that's their first go-to game. But yeah. I feel that if we can stop the run, that our DBs are good enough that they passing really isn't an option against us. So,
what are you guys doing well so far in this 4-0 stretch?
Really, the best thing, like, if we can develop the run, that's our first goal, is develop the run, just like most teams. But, I mean, we've been throwing the ball really good. McSweeney's a great quarterback. He does great mixing the ball around, throwing to me, Baker, and a bunch of other guys. It's really just the thing that we've been doing best is mixing the ball around, not letting teams predict who's going to get the ball. There's nobody that we give the ball to every play. So,
what's something you feel like you got to work on?
Definitely executing on third downs. I mean, that was a big thing for us. Like, I remember the Lawrence game, and even last game, there's a few missed opportunities there. We should have converted on third down. But and not having stupid penalties. We've had a lot of personal fouls and not very good penalties, so that's definitely a goal, shorten the yardage on penalties.
The big thing that Skowhegan's talking about this week is, you know, limiting turnovers and penalties. The first Brewer touchdown last week came when the quarterback Garrett McSweeney threw an interception on the second play of the game, and the Witches marched right down the field and, you know, took an early lead on Skowhegan. And then they've had a lot of penalties in recent weeks that Coach Friedman and the players say they just have to clean that stuff up against a really good team like Brunswick.
Speaking of the Witches, Brewers involved in another game this week that has major playoff implications potentially. With they'll be hosting Coney down Reed Shostak after he was hit with a targeting penalty last week He'll miss the game against Brewer. Coney also without starting wide receiver Jordan Roddy, so the Rams will be up against it. But if they can get a win, they'll equal the Witches in the standings. Mount Blue, Messalonsky at 3-1 and 2-2 respectively, all very much alive in the playoff hunt. Gardner's coming off its first win of the season last week against Nokomis. They're sitting at 1-3 with Hamden. Nokomis 0-4. Lawrence is the question mark. They're 0-4. Obviously, this is not what you're used to seeing from the Bulldogs, but they've got a very very manageable schedule the rest of the way, and they're not out of it just yet.
No, they've got games coming up starting this week with Hamden, and then they have to play Gardner and Nokomis, all other teams kind of fighting for one of those final playoff spots with them. If they win those three, they're 3-4 going into their regular season finale against rival Messalonsky, and that could be a de facto playoff game for both teams.
Quick look at Class B South. Falmouth, Kennebunk still up there at 4-0. Marshwood with a surprising loss earlier in the year, but they bounced back. They're 3-1 with Levitt 3-1. Those four look like the definite contenders in that division, which 8 teams make the playoffs. They look to be locked into those top 4 spots, but you've got Biddeford lurking there at 2-2. They've looked fairly strong, Travis.
Yeah, and a Westbrook team that, while they're only 1-3, they have that win over Marshwood, so they could go on a run and jump back into the playoff hunt. You know, like you said, Biddeford, then Morse, Noble, York, all kind of fighting for those final playoff spots, and also Greeley. I can't forget them.
Quick look at Class C South: Cape Elizabeth, Yarmouth 4-0, Wells, Gray, New Gloucester 3-1. Patriots have been kind of the surprise of that conference thus far. Then you have Spruce Mountain, Poland at 2-2, and then a couple teams fighting for those last few playoff spots with Mountain Valley, Freiburg 1-3, Freeport, Lake Region 0-4. Travis, Cape has obviously been very good in that one. It seems like it's going to be Cape and Yarmouth that are the teams that are separating themselves.
Yeah, and you know, Wells always is going to be in the mix. Very well-coached team. They're coming on strong. Gray, New Gloucester, kind of the surprise of the league. We'll see if they can win a few more games and hold on to a playoff spot.
Switching over to the other side of the conference in the Big Ten, Winslow 4-0. They're obviously the team that's the hunted. They know it. They caught a bit of a test the first half a few weeks ago that you saw, but other than that, it seems like they've been rolling.
Yeah, Winslow had a tough game at Mount Desert Island a couple weeks ago. Tied 14-14 to half, came away with a 35-20 win, and then they just dominated a really strong Madison team this last week at their homecoming, 57-7. Winslow's going down to Oceanside this week, who had a big win over Waterville last week under the lights at Drummond Field, the first game ever under the lights at Drummond Field. It's going to be interesting if Winslow and Old Town both run the table and go 8-0 in the regular season. They don't play each other. They'll have the exact same Crabtree standings, and it'll come down to a coin flip for that number one seed, which would probably drive people from both schools absolutely nuts if Winslow and Old Town were to have home field throughout the playoffs decided by, you know, calling it in the air.
Who's the better team? Can Old Town beat Winslow?
I haven't seen Old Town yet this year. They, you know, against teams that we have seen, they look strong against Waterville. They have some tough games coming up with Mount Desert Island and Madison. But they've got some skill position players from what I hear, so they, you know, might be able to match Winslow with a little speed. I just don't know if they have the depth of the Black Raiders.
Speaking of dominance, you got MCI 4-0. They've outscored opponents by a ton this year.
Yeah.
Can anybody? I mean, you see, Madonna Valley is sitting there at 4-0, but they're just, you know, they've had a great year just recently back as a varsity program. But, you know, can anybody really challenge MCI in that conference?
I don't think so, because we thought it would be Madonna Academy, and then the MCI goes out and beats them last week 61-0. Now, the Class D North Little Ten Conference, the standings are going to be a little skewed only because schools like Madonna Valley, who are in their first year as a varsity program playing down, aren't eligible for the playoffs. An Ellsworth Sumner team that's 3-1 is sitting in the 4 spot right now, so they're ineligible for the playoffs. So that will move some of these teams like Mount View, and Dexter, and Orono up a couple spots. So, like, for instance, Mount View, who plays Madonna Valley this weekend, yep, would jump into the 3rd spot right behind Madonna Academy. But right now, it's MCI is just sparring away the class of that division. They don't get a game this week. They have an exhibition against Hyde because, as we, you know, talked about last week, Camden Hills has dropped football for the year. They were supposed to play the Huskies in Pittsfield this weekend. That game will go in as a win for MCI and for all the remaining teams that had to play Camden Hills. And MCI will host Hyde, a private school team that plays in the Evergreen League with Kent Hill and Hebron, a couple other main schools. And take their 5-0 record into the MC into the break.
MC actually, you know, if they're going to get a test during the regular season, it should be from Hyde. Hyde's coming off a relatively tight loss to Tilton School out of New Hampshire. But they have athletes and size that MCI probably won't see during the regular season.
Yeah, and they have some post-grad players. Coach Bertrand and Tom Bertrand up at MCI said, yeah, we'll probably rest some guys and treat this like an exhibition game, but we also want to play well. And what he said is, you know, they don't want to have a bye week because, as you know, the prohibitive favorite and likely number one seed in the conference, they're already going to get a bye week from the first round of the playoffs. So you don't want, you know, to have a week of rest in the middle of the season, then another week and gear yourself up again. You know, yeah. He said you want to stay mentally and physically sharp and keep playing.
We'll switch over to the Campbell Conference Class D South. It's not really a question of who gets in this one. 9 teams in the conference, 8 teams make it. Why? I don't know. But I can't imagine, you know, the team likely be on the outside looking in will be Telstar.
Right.
They haven't scored a point this year. It's been a rough year for them. 18 guys when they're healthy, and usually they're just, you know, they're not overmatched in skill, they're overmatched in depth, and a lot of these teams have been able to just kind of wear them down, even though they've been competitive early on. The game we're looking at, Travis, is top in the Crabtree standings right now, 4-0 Oak Hill, the only remaining undefeated team in this conference. They've won 23 out of their previous 24 games, dating back to 2 seasons ago. They'll host Winthrop Monmouth on Saturday afternoon.
Cardiac Ramblers.
I saw a tweet from assistant coach Jared Richmond the other day saying he doesn't know how much longer he can keep putting up with this.
How many times and ways can you find to win in the closing seconds of a game?
Obviously referencing that, you know, they beat Derrigo with 6 seconds left on a quarterback keeper from Matt Ingram, and then the following week they go out and score with 12 seconds left on a pass to Ben Ames. Ames has had a couple of huge catches. He only got 5 catches on the year. 2 of them have been to set up game-winning scores. So it'll be interesting. If Oak Hill has a chance to put them away, they've got to do it this week.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're looking at a Winthrop Monmouth team that believes they're going to win all the way until the final buzzer blows.
Yeah, and they're good. You don't have games like that just on luck. You don't win at the end because you're lucky. You win at the end because you're talented and prepared and know what you're doing. And Oak Hill will probably have one of their toughest regular season games this weekend, I would think.
I think it's definitely their toughest game to this point. Really, they haven't played anybody at the top end of the division outside of Derrigo.
Right.
Derrigo's sitting at 2-2. They're better than 2-2. It's just that tough at the top this year. The one thing that separates Winthrop Monmouth from Derrigo is the Ramblers have more threats, more options. They've got about 6-7 guys that they can get the ball to that can make plays for them. Derrigo, you know, you're really keying on quarterback Riley Robinson there.
Sure.
Winthrop Monmouth can beat you in a lot of different ways. They can pound it up the middle, hitting that belly play with Alec Brown, or they can throw it outside. Pizzurko, Ben Ames, you know, they've got some guys who can catch the ball. Bennett Brooks, another one. If they get the ball in space, they can do some things. So Oak Hill's going to have to be really disciplined defensively, and they can't really have any lapses. You know, you let one of these guys go, you know, he might not have a catch until the fourth quarter,
sure.
But then you let him go. Although, that being said, the Raiders are the toughest team in this conference. They do more offensively than any other team. They'll go to that single wing or go to that double wing at times, but they like to hit that hurry up when they can. They'll spread you out wide, and Dalton Terrien has run their offense to a T so far this year.
Yeah, and then you're looking at Lisbon and Marana Cook both with 1 loss, kind of in the mix for trying to get a home game in the first round of the playoffs as well.
Yep. The way this conference is kind of shaking out, that race for that 4 spot is kind of, it looks like to be a really good one. Obviously, whoever gets that will host a home game. Those teams that are going to be fighting for that, it looks to be a Derrigo, Marana Cook, Lisbon, even Old Orchard Beach. You know, Coach Dean Plant does a nice job down there, and they always seem to be in the mix. So it's really about that 5, maybe 6, you know, 4 to 5 teams that should really challenge in this division. And once you get into the playoffs, it should be really tight.
Yeah, I'd say that in the Class D, the Campbell Conference is certainly a much deeper conference than the Little Ten.
Well, that'll do it for this week on Gridiron Gurus. Be sure to check out centralmaine.com, particularly on Friday nights for all the local scores, as well as plenty of other great local content.